In today's solo episode of Marketing and Me, yes, you get me this time. I'm taking you through a fun session about finding your voice, uncovering your story, and then sharing it with your local community to build your personal brand, build your know, like, and trust factor, and ultimately attract more clients. I presented the following information at a workshop earlier in the year on behalf of SWR or SWA FM, and then again at an online session. And I received some great feedback, so I thought I'd share it now with you. Personally, I've built up strong awareness and following in the Hills District after showing up time and time again for a few years now. I am consistent in my online presence on platforms like LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. I attend and run several local networking events to connect with local and fellow business owners every month. And I continue to show up via media channels like podcasts, local radio, newspapers, and magazines. As a result of my efforts, I'm often told that it seems like I'm everywhere. And as a copywriter and content marketing trainer who aims to produce this sense of omnipresence for my clients, this is great feedback. It shows I also walk the talk. Let's dive into the episode where I'll go into more detail. Welcome to the Marketing Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. The show features a beautiful blend of guest and solo episodes covering marketing and business growth topics, as well as ways to improve your physical, mental, and emotional self. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I run a health and wellness copywriting agency while also offering content marketing training. So whether you're keen to outsource or DIY, my team at Right Time Marketing is here for you. Either way, we'll ensure your message is seen and heard by your ideal client. If you're keen to connect, feel free to book a free 15-minute chat after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. So yeah, it's been a little while since I've done a solo episode. I was meant to do one monthly, or that was my intention, but somehow it completely dropped off the radar. I find it's so much easier to line up interviews with people and roll with it rather than write a little script for myself. So I plan to get better on that. But yes, I have a few things going on. So first of all, the business has been growing steadily over the past few months, and I'm excited to announce that I've been selected as a finalist for the Australian Small Business Champion Awards under the copywriting category. I'm also an Ozmumpreneur nominee and I've applied for a couple of other awards this year as well, because once you write out all that stuff once, you just repurpose it. And then, you know, I'm big on repurposing. So let's see what happens with that. But now let's get down to business. I want to talk you through three spaces where you can share your story and make your marketing work for you in your local area. So those areas are online, face-to-face, and PR or public relations. But first of all, what do we mean by finding your voice? So I'm not going to make this complicated. For me, finding a voice and knowing how to share your message in the community, it's all about speaking as my true, authentic self. So I actually write or type exactly how I speak. So this ensures consistency when people meet me in real life. They're getting the same person. So my first tip leads into the online topic. Write how you speak. So don't write your social media posts and blogs like you're reciting something from an instruction manual, unless that's how you speak in real life. And I know some people do. But whenever you're writing something, make sure you're always reading it out aloud to yourself before you hit that publish or send button. So, you know, if you use terms like meh or woohoo, even if they're not technically real words, add them in. And if you usually crack jokes, make dad jokes, I'm a big fan of a pun, add them in. But, you know, you might want to avoid potentially offensive jokes unless you know your audience really well. Number two, show that you're human. A lot of my clients get caught up in what they should be saying in the online space and how much they need to talk about themselves versus their products and services. Well, I don't know about you, but the posts about my kids or random reflections seemed to completely outperform my promotional posts because people want to connect with the humans behind the brand. So don't be afraid to be vulnerable and show your true self because it makes you relatable. So yes, don't talk too much about yourself, but somewhat personal stuff without sharing too much can be extremely powerful. And then you can add a question at the end to encourage engagement because social media is meant to be social, right? Tip number three is to share videos of yourself. And this is one that freaks a lot of people out, but we know that social media algorithms love videos and YouTube is the second largest search engine after Google. So you can use video to offer advice and quick tips or use it to give updates about you and your business. Videos also help bring your actual voice to life and your personality. While written posts in your voice, like I mentioned before, they are great, there's nothing like hearing someone speak. It helps build connection and highlights the human behind the brand. And just on this note as well, I've recently started dabbling with Reels. Check out my Instagram, LeanneShelton247, to see. It's been a long time coming, but I realized that, you know, my quirky personality suits Reels very well. I've got to get over my uncertainty with it and just play with it. So I've gotten some tips from Steph Pinto, who does a lot of these, and I'm slowly getting the hang of it. So then people can see my fun side as well as educating them at the same time. Tip number four is use voice messaging. So as a follow on from my last point, I'm a big fan of using voice messaging in like Facebook, LinkedIn, and WhatsApp. And not many people do it on Instagram as well, by the way. Not many people do it, but I use these tools all the time. So from one side of things, I actually find it easier to say it than to type them out. And being a writer, overanalyzing the spelling and grammar. There's also no risk of someone misinterpreting something as a joke or insult, and it removes the uncertainty over whether someone's upset or unaffected. And ultimately, it provides the human side. It reminds people they're not dealing with an emotionless bot, they're dealing with me. Because, you know, some people do send out those automated messages, which is fine as that starting point if you're initially connecting, but follow it up with a voice message to show that there is a human behind it all. Number five, share how others see you. So I know we're mostly talking about your voice in the online space, but I highly recommend using the voice of others to help promote your products and services. So I'm throwing this one in. I highly recommend sharing testimonials and Google reviews across your socials, website, and everywhere. Of course, if you're in the health and wellness space, you may have certain rules that you need to meet for this. So this may not be applicable for you in particular, but there's no harm in asking for feedback. For socials, you can head to Canva, turn them into a pretty graphic, and then add a blurb about how that feedback made you feel. Because you probably yourself check out reviews before booking accommodation or making a reservation for the first time. So having a third party speak about your awesome work is extremely powerful in the online space. Once again, if that's okay for you to use according to the laws. Now, before I jump into the face-to-face section, I want to briefly mention the old school phone calls and Zoom meetings because they're channels that kind of meet in the middle between online and face-to-face. So my first full-time job out of university was a telesales job and I wasn't such a fan. However, that job helped me get over my fear of talking on the phone. If you get freaked out by the phone and making calls to people who aren't family members or friends, you're not alone. That was me as well. But building up my phone skills has been so very helpful in my career. because so many people use email, messages, and SMS so that when you do make a phone call, you stand out from the crowd. And clients are often pleasantly surprised when I call them versus email, and it's a brilliant way to build a rapport. There have been numerous occasions when I've been chosen over a competitor because I took the time to connect with a potential client via the phone. And Zoom works the same way. And it adds body language, which adds a whole other element to your conversation. You can then see if someone is on board with your conversation or has uncertainty. Because I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but communication is 55% non-verbal, 38% vocal, and 7% words. So while a phone call is better than an email, a Zoom meeting is way better than a phone call. And of course, meeting face-to-face is obviously at the top of the list. So using Zoom is a daily occurrence for me, and it's been a fantastic way to build relationships with my clients or potential clients. A free 15-minute Zoom session with someone new can instantly give you a feel of whether there's potential to proceed. So you might want to pause now and have a think. Is there an example of when a phone call or Zoom solved an issue or avoided an issue than if you'd gone, you know, having the conversation via email? All right, so the next thing I want to talk about is face-to-face. So when someone asks you that question, hey, so what do you do, like at a networking event or just, you know, family barbecue, what do you usually say? Do you tell them your job title and that brief description? Most of us do, right? But what if you could do it differently and say it in a way that truly engages the person you're talking to? Because in many cases, your job title and description means something to you, but for someone outside of your industry, they actually have no idea what you're on about. And my parents still don't know what I do. I still get asked, how do you explain what you do again? So I'm personally like this when I talk to like accountants or solicitors. Sorry, guys. My eyes just glaze over and I feel like I can't relate. And I've had many people ask me legal questions after saying I'm a copywriter, you know, the copyright symbol. So I have some suggestions of things that you could say and a bit of a structure here of when someone asks you that question. So what do you do? All right. So first of all, you set the context by saying to them, well, have you ever dot, dot, dot. And then you paint this picture to set the context. Then you say what the problem is that you solve. Well, you know how, or did you know, and then insert the problem there. Then you go into the role and solution that you deliver. Well, as a something, I or we do this. And then you have the outcome you achieve and purpose. So our insert target market here can blah, 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 live an amazing life, right? So as an example, mine could be, and this is probably something I should rehearse or get more comfortable with, but it could be, have you ever found yourself staring at a blank computer screen and unable to find the right words to write your website copy, blogs, and social media posts? That's the first one. Well, did you know there are people out there who actually love writing and can take this pressure off your hands? There's the problem you solve. At Right Time Marketing, I have a team of mid to senior level SEO copywriters who can write it all for you. Or you can learn how to DIY via online or face-to-face workshops. A bit more about the solution there. So our clients can either focus on all the stuff they're good at and know that all the content marketing stuff is moving along smoothly in the background, or they can say goodbye to the overwhelm and know what actions they need to take. And that's the outcome. So how does that sound? You know, it's so much more interesting than I run a copywriting agency that writes blogs and websites, because still people don't know exactly what that means. So that structure just gives you a bit of an idea. You're very welcome to pause now, rewind, and write your own. And feel free to reach out to me if you'd like me to read over it and give you some feedback. There's also another way that you can respond to that question. So what do you do? And you can share a case study instead. So you could say something like this. Well, okay, I'll answer your question like this. We recently, and then you go into a client story and you go into the client's problem before they came to you or why they came to you. You talk about during the process, so what you did to help them, and then you go into the client's outcome afterwards, after they've had your support. So going into that, so I could say, well, I had this person who had struggled with writing their website copy. They knew what they wanted to say, just couldn't get it out, had no idea what to do. They came to me. Well, what did I do? I interviewed them via Zoom and I got it all out of their head. I asked them lots of questions, got curious, and then I got a transcript from that chat and wrote out the website copy, literally using their words. And the outcome was they had this amazing website. They were extremely satisfied with what we did in very limited time. A lot shorter than the time it would take them to keep in their head against the computer screen and try to write themselves. So there you go. That's also more interesting than saying, I'm a copywriter. So have a think about that as well. Pause and write a potential case study that would paint a picture of what you actually do. Okay, so now I've got that part sorted. You need to ensure you're actually showing up to networking events to give yourself plenty of time to practice it. Because look, while so much marketing happens in the digital space these days, I've found that going out, meeting new people and sharing my story has resulted in consistent work. And it's a big part of my marketing strategy, the whole networking thing. Because, you know, by showing up on a regular basis, you become more familiar to people. And then I build up that know, like, trust factor every time we touch base. Makes more likely for them to either work with me or refer me down the track. So I want to add here as well that your conversations at networking events shouldn't just be business related. In fact, I encourage you to avoid talking too much shop and focus on the person behind the business. Like, what's their story? What are they passionate about? What do they get up to on the weekend? And I know we often get caught up in our own stories and what we're going to say, and we get nervous going to networking events, but get curious. Don't focus on you. Go in not with the sales targets, and don't think about walking away with great leads. Go in thinking about, who am I going to meet today? What kind of tip could I learn from them? What kind of passion could something for me personally as an extroverted, I get a lot of energy from talking to other people about their stuff. So just being part of their journey and hearing, you never know. You may ask someone completely outside your industry a question about their processes, for example, that you could then implement in your business as well. Okay, so I want to go into the media side now. And it's all about sharing your story via the media, finding your voice that way, with a focus on radio, podcasting, and media releases. So I have a question for you, and the answer is going to be yes. And that is, do you have a great story to tell, business or personal, or have a brain full of knowledge that others could benefit from? The answer is yes, you do, even if you don't think you do, because you have all these stories and information to share that you don't realize that it's just so close to you. But your local community would love to hear it. And look, from my personal experience, approaching my local radio station was relatively easy because the hosts have got guest spots to fill every week. So you're often doing them a favor by putting your hand up to speak on a certain topic. It's simply about finding the right segment and topic. And I've been on local radio a bunch of times, talking about blogging and content marketing. And more recently, a few months ago, I talked about my participation in the Stars of Western Sydney fundraiser for Cancer Council New South Wales. And, you know, it's always been a really fun experience. So I highly recommend considering it. And, you know, if the local radio station records your episode for a podcast, which more and more do, then you have a valuable resource to share on your website, in the newsletter, and across your socials. So then when it comes to podcasting, being a podcast guest is fairly easy as well. You once again just have to ask. It's very easy to research suitable podcasts and reach out to the podcast host via email or socials and see if they're happy to bring you on board as a guest. If they have guests, of course, because some prefer to just do the solo thing. So if the podcast host doesn't know you, sending over a professional bio, something made pretty in Canva, can be very helpful. The document can include your background, possible topics, and links to all those times you've been featured on local radio. And the beauty of both local radio and podcasting is that you have the opportunity for your voice to be heard by a broader audience outside of your network. You just never know who's listening and what will come from it. Just make sure you provide ways for people to connect with you afterwards. All right, so I wanted to go through some tips on the written side of PR, and that includes writing a media release. So like radio and podcast hosts, journalists are always looking for content, but they're under a lot of pressure to feature only the highest quality stuff and as quick as they can. So a media release is a great way to highlight the story you have to share and why they need to listen to you. So step number one is grab attention with a clever headline. One of the most important skills a copywriter has possessed is the ability to hook their audience in, or you as a business owner. It's the first thing people read, and if they don't captivate the reader, there's no point going any further. It's important to come up with something that's going to grab attention and get their interest immediately. So number two is to highlight the journalistic angles of your story. So a good story will engage the audience and pull them in from the get-go. So you want to start with that headline, as I mentioned, and then have a punchy lead paragraph that summarizes the story, the who, what, when, where, and why. And then follow it up with quotes from experts, or if it's from you, maybe, and anyone else who's impacted by the event to add a human element. Tip number three is include the most critical information up front, because you never know how much space the publication has and how much space the journalist has to work with. So make sure the vital information is mentioned first, then work your way down to interesting details that wouldn't affect the story if they got the job. On that point, number four, keep it short and sweet. No more than 1.5 pages, but one is actually best. Have a heading down the bottom, a subheading for more information, and insert your contact details. And if they think it's of interest, they'll reach out to you. Tip number five, write in an active voice. And this can be a tricky one to get right. And I just kind of did a bit of a Google search to work out the best way to explain what active voice actually means. It's a copywriting thing that I'm very familiar with. But in a sentence written in the active voice, the subject of the sentence performs the action. When you're talking about passive voice, the subject receives the action. So, for example, active voice is "the dog bit the man." Passive is "the man was bitten by the dog." Kind of see the difference there. And I still occasionally go down this passive hole, but I'm getting much better. And I think actually a lot of journalists use it too these days. So that's not a massive one to get freak out over. But you can use tools like Grammarly and Outright to double check what you've written, or ask a copywriter, of course, to review it. Tip number six is to keep it relevant to journalists' interests. So when you're too close to the subject, it can be very easy to fall in the trap of promoting something that's important to you, but maybe not to the rest of the world. So think about the journalist who's thinking about their audience. Why is this topic important and interesting right now? Why should they explore the story? Will their audience be keen to hear about it? Will it make a difference to their lives? All key questions to ask yourself. Tip number seven, send along a photo, high res if it is going to be in print, or say photo opportunities are available, because you want to make their lives as easy as possible. And if you attach a high-res image suitable for printing, the hard work is done. Or if it's promoting the event yet to take place, then that photo opportunity thing is great. Makes them aware that that's possible. Tip number eight, distribute it across the right channels. Don't waste your time by sending it to 100 publications. Do your research first and know which publications speak to your ideal audience. And you can follow journalists on Twitter and LinkedIn in a non-stalkerish way and build rapport before flicking over the release, because it's more likely to go further. Because they get a lot of media releases every day, so you need to find ways to make them pay attention. if they feel like they know and trust you, they're more likely to run your story. Tip number 9 is turn your media release into a one-page marketing kit. So whether the media picks up on it or not, and there's never promises they will, you can still feature the media release on your website or in your business proposals. It's likely to represent a key milestone or achievement, which potential interested customers might be eager to hear about. Last tip, and we'll finish up, use social media to extend the reach of your story. So like the last point, don't wait for journalists to just run with it. You might be waiting a long time. So upload it to your website and share the link across your socials along with the cool Canva graphic. You know how I love my Canva, because you can still announce your story to your world. So there you have it, 10 tips to help you with your media release. And that brings me to the end of this episode. I hope it's been helpful to you and you're all pumped to get out there, find your voice and share your story with the world. I hope I've inspired you to step up and make a larger impact in your local community with your marketing. All the best with it. And thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating or review via your podcast platform of choice, and grab a screenshot of this episode and share it across your socials to get the message out there. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show. You can also find me on Instagram under LeanneShelton247 and check out my reels or book in a free 15-minute chat, because I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.